as more Chinese children start to wear glasses. The nation has pumped out new measures to protect their eyesight. As for now, there's the control of kids' eyesight that's included in the work performance evaluation of government officials. In first, second graders are not allowed to be given written homework. That's just to name a few. So let's look at this goal that the government has set of keeping kids' eyesight in check.
All right. Apparently, this scheme is a joint venture undertaken by the Ministry of Education here in China and the National Health Commission and also six other departments. It was launched last Thursday, according to a recent Xinhua report. And this is meant to curb the rising nearsightedness or myopia among children and teenagers for the sake of their health and the nation's future. The goal is to keep the myopia rate among six-year-old kids at around 3% by 2030, with the incidence among primary school kids to drop between below 38% and the rate among junior and senior high school students to fall below 60% and 70% respectively. This is not actually a very ambitious plan. If you look at the figures, I mean, 3% for six-year-old kids and 38% for primary school students, 60 to 70% respectively for junior and senior middle school students. And the scheme also said the overall myopia rate of Chinese teenagers should be reduced by over 0.5% each year from 2018 to 2023. And also in high incidence provinces, the reduction should reach 1% each year. So, like I said, doesn't sound like a very ambitious plan. But if you compare this to the dire situation we are facing regarding people's, especially students' eye health, then perhaps this plan is well designed. Because according to a Ministry of Education report released in July this year, about 36.5% of the fourth graders and 65.3% of the 8th graders have poor eyesight. And there's another report that's even more alarming. This one is released by a health research institution under Peking University, and it showed more than 70% of high school and college students were nearsighted. And it also warned China may be short of labor with qualified eyesight in sectors like aerospace, sophisticated manufacturing, and the military in the future if myopia worsens. And the figure still kept increasing year by year. A report published by the university in 2015 pointed out that without effective intervention, the incidence of myopia in the Chinese population above 5 years old would rose to around 51% in 2020. That's more than half of the country's population.
That is a pretty alarming figure. And I'm just trying to take in all the numbers that Lai Ming has just cited there. And just from my own experience, I remember back in my day, so that's more than a decade ago, when I was in middle school, I remember more than half of my classmates were wearing glasses, and I was a proud member of that group, too.
You were a city girl. I think it makes kind of sense. I mean, I think for the urban way of living, it's hard for people to be exposed to the outdoor activities, and that has contributed to more people getting myopia. I think in my experience, my former classmates, when I was in primary school, I think about 10% of those wore eyeglasses, whereas in senior middle school, I think one-third.
Yeah, it just seems as we get older into adolescence, and then more and more Chinese young people start wearing glasses. Tony, well, you grew up in California.
Right.
Remember the scene of such in your classroom?
When I was younger, glasses were associated with, you know, being a nerd. Ooh. So a lot of kids, you know, tried not to wear glasses even if they needed it. So when I was younger, I didn't see too many kids with glasses, just a few. So I would say maybe a fourth or less of the classroom had glasses at that time But obviously now things have changed a lot. I think the appeal of nerdiness now is actually pretty cool, especially like a lot of TV shows, you know, that, you know, kind of glamorize this.
Nerd is the new sexy.
Right. So it's definitely a lot different from when I was younger.
Okay. What are some of the reasons that make people have this nearsighted problem?
Well, myopia is common in the U.S., with research suggesting this condition increased dramatically in recent decades. The only big research that was done in the States took place actually years ago, in 1971, actually. The National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey provided their earliest national representative estimates for myopia prevalent in the U.S. and found that people between the ages of 12 and 54 was about 25% of the population had myopia. And that same method was implemented in 1999 through 2004. And the myopia prevalence was estimated to have climbed to about 42%. So it seems that it's growing. But nowadays, in the 2016, I just read a report about it growing even more. So it seems that a lot of people are, you know, exposing themselves to a lot of, you know, cell phones and computer usage, and it seems to be getting worse in the U.S., but not as bad as what I'm seeing in East Asia in terms of the you know, the percentage of youth that have this condition.
Well, yeah, interesting you mentioned East Asia, but in our defense, I think genetics plays a huge part in getting people myopic, because according to one attending surgeon in the ophthalmology department of Beijing Children's Hospital, many nearsightedness cases are caused genetically. If neither of the parents is nearsighted, the possibility of the kid becoming nearsighted is around 7%. If one of the parents is nearsighted, the possibility of the kid becoming nearsighted jumps to 26%, threefold increase. And if both of the parents are nearsighted, the possibility reaches as high as 45%. So if you're a kid living in urban areas in China and you have parents who both wear glasses, then chances are there's no escape for you.
Yeah, there's no escape for me, period. My parents both are well-educated people, bookworms to some extent, and they both have severe myopia. So I think, in a way, my mom was just waiting to, as I was growing up, when should I take her to the optician and get the glasses? And she didn't have to wait very long.
It's like
second grade.
Enduring family heirloom to be passed on to you, huh?
I suppose that not a particularly cheerful, happy family heirloom, but yes, I've got it in my DNA, and I think my parents weren't very surprised about it either. So, but that is actually bad when I think about it, because considering there's so many Chinese kids having myopia, and as we grow up, start our family, according to this argument, then it perpetuates this myopia kind of problem. That's not good.
I think I got lucky. My mother, her vision is actually pretty good, but my father, his vision was, well, let's say a little challenged. He studied a lot because he went to med school, and from med school, there's a lot of studying that you have to do. And so his eyesight was quite bad. And my sister ended up with myopia when she was in high school. She developed it. But for myself, I'm lucky. I don't need to wear glasses. I wear more to protect myself because I have a lot of computer time at this time of my life. But I don't have it, so I think I'm very lucky. And that's the point that I would like to make, that I believe there's, you know, environmental factors can't be ruled out either. Due to some studies that have been, you know, conducted over the past decade. There was one in 2006 with the Sydney Myopia Study. Researchers in Australia evaluated the effect of time spent outdoors on the development and progression of myopia among 6-year-olds and 12-year-olds, randomly selected from 51 Sydney schools. And the 12-year-old students who spent more time outdoors had less myopia at the end of the 2-year study. And even after adjusting the amount of reading performed and even considering parental myopia and ethnicity. So environmental factors play a major role in, I believe, in this condition, because
I think it makes some sense, because if you compare the figures or compare the personal observations of my own and also that of He Yang, like He Yang, you remember about a half of your class wore eyeglasses.
More than that, for me,
my former classmates, about a third of them wore eyeglasses. I think there's a difference in lifestyle here, because I grew up in a county in southern China, and a lot of my classmates, they were sons and daughters of farmers. So in some cases, during summer vacations, summer holidays particularly, they have to help out with the chores, in both in their homes and also in the field. I personally even helped lend some hand to a former classmate of mine. I went into the field and harvested grain for them. So I think there are cases when lifestyle can play a huge part in whether or not you develop myopia, nowadays, when we see more people, when we see Chinese cities or Chinese society rapidly urbanizing, a lot more people swarming into the urban setting, I don't think they are quite prepared to live the life in cities as compared to the kind of life they used to have. Because I remember when I was living in the village where I grew up, my pals, they were always thinking about maybe going into the mountains to sort of pick out the best branch to make the slingshot, or maybe just a
slingshot.
Yeah,
wow.
Go into the fields to catch frogs, and also as for the girls, they do skip rope. Uh-huh. Is it? Things like that, I don't really care. But but for boys, one more interesting thing is that we sometimes compete with riding tricycles in the square or out in the wild. So that kind of lifestyle is really hard to imagine for the young kids nowadays in cities.
Yeah, we grew up in the concrete jungle. Going to see the mountains, that just sounds so exciting. And that is certainly a privilege and a luxury for those who live in the city to enjoy. And yes, I think after you portraying the mountains,
the difference in lifestyle.
Yeah, in the concrete jungle, I think certainly there's a lot to be said about the effects that has on people's eyesight as well. And what about the academic pressure and reading habits, which I think the common knowledge sort of pinpoints myopia to those things?
Well, I think it's kind of like an arms race. When you have parents competing to send to sort of help the kids enjoy the best education, there's no stop. There's no way to prevent them from investing heavily into extracurricular activities. So even though maybe in some cases, like the measures we're talking about, how the education ministry is asking schools around the country not to leave out homework for students of the first and second grades, but really, there's no way to prevent parents who care so much about their kids' education from sending those kids to extracurriculum like tutorials. And also, one thing that's different I just thought about is that actually the way the classroom activity is arranged is totally different from back in my days. I mean, nowadays, when we talk about education or classroom activities, we see, we imagine like a multimedia way of teaching methods. We have perhaps an LED screen in front of the classroom, and the teacher would type things on the computer and to be shown on the screen. Whereas I think in my days, we all had a blackboard, and our teachers used chalks to write on the blackboard.
I remember that.
Yeah, the amount of damage to students' eyesight is totally different.
Just respiratory issues because of the dust from the chalk. Well, I remember before I put on the glasses, I had to sit in the first row in classroom. Yeah, and there was and sometimes you get really passionate teachers, and there's saliva flying and also the chalk I remember those things. Didn't really want to sit in the first row, but that's not the issue here. And yes, now when we see that there are some really, I think, quite aggressive measures that are being pumped out this year, it seems like the government is very serious about curbing such an issue. Tony, what do you think about this basket of measures? Liming has mentioned one, and there's also including...
myopia rates as a way to assess the performance of officials.
Yes, government officials.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's in China, that usually signifies,
you know,
it's
serious. Good business. It's a serious business.
You know, I think for us at the civilian level, we are swamped with pressure from our jobs and our bosses and deadlines, you know, and it's, with a certain proportion, I feel that, you know, a little bit of pressure from these government officials, I think it's a good thing. It will motivate them to, you know, be more active in the community, and they will hopefully enact certain policies that may reduce the amount of exposure to some of these agents that cause myopia. I think this is giving rise to a bigger issue in China, perhaps, that there needs to be some type of a reconstruction of the testing system here in China. It seems that a lot of students have a lot of tests that they have to study for, and that gets pressure on the parents to make them study more. And I believe that this whole system of testing perhaps needs to be modified. And so when government officials get involved, I believe that this is probably the best way to make, you know, substantial change in this arena.
And also, if you look at the history of policymaking in recent years here in this country, you know that maybe putting something or defining something as a criteria to assess officials' performance, maybe it's one way to bring about tangible changes. For instance, years ago, when property price was skyrocketing, I think it was the official's job to rein in the housing price. And then also when we had serious air pollution and water pollution problems, the central government made it an obligation for local officials to sort of clean up the air and water. And look at what we've got in this year. Particularly, we have very good air quality in Beijing. So if you look at the history of child policy making, then you believe that perhaps there is going to be some kind of progress in the policy making in local governments. But then again, I'm having second thoughts. I doubt this is an area where local officials will have a lot of leeway to exercise real and tangible changes. Because let's face it, like I said, it's kind of like an arms race when it comes to parents, when it comes to the attitude that parents have about over their kids' education. So yes, you can ask schools not to give out or leave homeworks to students, but who is to stop the parents from sending the kids to extracurriculum tutorial courses where they do get homeworks? And who is to stop parents from assigning their own homework to their kids? And that's not going to, you can make as many policies as you can, but what people do in their own households is up to them.
Yeah, that's a really good point, but I'd also like to think, well, I'm not a parent yet, but I've been a kid and to, you know, a pair of loving parents. And usually parents have their kids' best interest at heart, and that includes keeping them healthy. And if they get a choice to not have their kids to have to worry about wearing glasses and myopia, then I'm sure lots of parents would be on board. And now, in the 21st century, considering that, well, if you're not reading, then possibly you could be playing video games, and that apparently has become a central theme of socializing for kids these days. There's also that huge aspect of all kinds of digital gadgets that's grabbing the attention of kids, and sometimes parents leave kids to these gadgets as a pacifier or a babysitter of some sort. So Yeah, how effective do you think the measures are going to be considering all these factors in play?
Well, I personally feel that the research is more the as more research comes out on this issue, the more people will take heed to it in terms of what needs to be done. Like, what is the cause of myopia? And right now, at this point, it still seems that we're still trying to gather information on that cause. And if these government officials have this knowledge and they push that and they use that in terms of leverage on how to get these policies put forward, I believe a lot of parents will be on board, because it's 70 to 90% myopia rate in China. I mean, that's really high. So I believe that this really needs to be pushed a lot more exposure. People need to look at it and see it as more of a threat, because it's a really big issue. And if parents get on board, I believe politicians can definitely put forward these policies to make some change.
I think we need more than just prohibitive or punitive measures to sort of scare politicians, to whip the politicians into action. I think in order to eliminate the problem or just ease the problem a little bit, it requires interagency cooperation. Because here we have I think we have a typical example of in ancient history of China, where we talk about one official who was assigned to address the flood problem, and what he did was trying to block the waterway, and the result was that we had an all-out blast, and he failed. And then his son went about trying to dig more channels to sort of to divert the problem. I think we need to be much, much more creative than just punishing officials who are not so active in this, because I think one way to crack this is perhaps to change people's lifestyle. Nowadays, we're talking about a lot of people swarming into cities. They are not used to, even the cities aren't prepared to accommodate so many people. When we talk about, we can talk the whole day about the interesting activities we used to have in the villages or in the counties, but that's not possible for people who've just come into cities, for cities where they have not prepared to accommodate students. They have not built enough playgrounds. They have not built enough parks. They have not built enough open spaces for the kids to run around and enjoy life. I think we, instead of focusing on the Ministry of Education, perhaps a little urban planning should also be involved.
That's a really good point, and I have a good feeling that parents would be very supportive of
Building more
such
parks.
such measures. Yes, we'll be back after this break.